somewhere. All right, so we're hoping on test of all Roman bays by the second Mishnah, or first actually, the only Mishnah on that. Okay, so continuing with the questions that Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. I forgot to mention, by the way, yesterday when we had the Mishnah where Rabbi Akiva had asked about a limb that's dangling off an animal, whether it's metame of Eva Menachai or not, whether it has a tumor of Eva Menachai, and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel had said this make a kavachomer based on the case of the human mukesh shin, so we didn't actually explain what the kavachomer is. So Rashi brings it over here, and Shita Kovetta says that it was actually supposed to be in the Gemara itself, that you make a kavachomer like this. A person is able to be metame while he's alive, unlike animals are never in makabal tumor while they're alive. A person can become tame while they're alive. Yet the Abraham Adulto from him is not tame as long as it's attached. As we said, that's why the mukesh shin are able to still have it attached, and it's not metame then. How much more so an animal, which is not makabal tumor while it's alive, how much more so that an Abraham Adulto from it is not going to be makabal tumor? Because a behemoth has less tumor than an animal, than a person does. A live behemoth is not able to be makabal tumor, whereas a live human being is.
And therefore,
we should say, so even a person's Avram Adoldol is not metame, as long as it's still attached to him, how much more so the Avram Adoldol of a man version. That was the Kabbalah.
A person
is able to become truma, and yet their Avram Adoldol is not metame, how much more so an animal which is less truma? Right. Okay, so we're holding on by the Mishnah and Chesed Vavon Magus. Then Rabbi Akiva asked him, and them actually, he asked Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, another question. Somebody shechs five korbanos outside the Beit Mikdash, all in one helam, and we learned at the beginning of the sech that that's one of the things for which a person is chayav. We learned in Zvachim a person is chayav karis, right? So therefore, as is the usual rule, a person is chayav chatas if it was b'shegig, right? So mahu, what's the din? Chayav akolachas b'chatas? And what's the din? Is he chayav akolachas b'chatas? Is he chayav an individual chatas for each one? Or achas akolon? Does he have to bring one chatas to cover all of them? Omru loy loy shamayinu. So again,
they... What we said previously is Averis.
But we have to figure out, because it is, after all one shame of Avera. It's all one name of Avera, because it's all Shkotichot. But that's what we're going to discuss, Bukhan Mokhokin. Omru loy loy shamayinu. So Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel tell him we haven't heard from our Rebbeim about that. However, Omru Rabbi Yeshua, but then Rabbi Yeshua says, Shamaiti, now what I did hear from my Rebbeim is, if a person eats from one korban, and the korban was prepared in five different dishes, and it was all in one helam, where again, Rabbi Yeshua, as we learned before, and as we're going to learn in the Gemara, he holds Tamchuyin Mechalkin, that the fact that it's prepared in different ways creates a difference in that each one is chayav achatas. So he ate from all, it was all from one korban, but it was in five tamchoyin, it was all in one helam, shu chayav akolachas v'achas mishum me'ila. He's going to be chayav individually, says Rabbi Yeshua, that he heard from his rebbeim, that he's going to be chayav individually from me'ila for each one. Assuming, by the way, Rashi says, we have to be talking about he ate from them before the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach. Otherwise, after the blood is sprinkled, you're allowed to eat from them. Okay. V'royani shadvarim kavachoyim. Now, I see that this should be a kavachomer, as we'll see in the Gemara, what his kavachomer is.
So it's about me'ila, right?
Well, once he says that we see over there, that once he sees it, once we see over there, that tamchoyin b'chalkin, then he says a kavachomer to your case involving different gufim. So, Amar Rav Shimon, however, Rav Shimon says, loy kach shalei Rav Akiva. Rav Shimon is saying, that's not the question Rav Akiva asked. And the reason we'll see in the Gemara what Rav Shimon's problem is with understanding that was the question. Rather, Rabbi Shimon says, "Ela ba'ochel noisir mechamishas v'ochem behelam achas ma'u." Rather, Rabbi Akiva's question, says Rabbi Shimon, was not about shechting five korbanos outside of the mikdash. There's no question he'd be chayiv individually for each one of those. But rather, the case is that he ate noisir, so that he ate noisir from five korbanos behelam achas ma'u. Then what would be the din? Chayiv akulon, or chayiv akol achas achas. He chayiv one for all of them, or is he chayiv individually for each one? And again, in Rabbi Shimon's version, Omer lo lo shamayu, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua say we have not heard from our Rebbeim about that. But Omer Rabbi Yeshua, shamayti ba'ochem zevach echad behetan korin behelam achas. I have heard from my Rebbeim that if a person eats from one korban, before the zuka in five different dishes in one halam. Shu chayv akalach zakas meshameila. He's going to be chayv individually for each one for meila. And Rabbi Yeshua says Beroyani shadvarim kavachomer. I see a kavachomer over here, and therefore I'd be able to answer your question on the basis of a kavachomer and say yes, he will be chayv individually for each one. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Now, however, Rabbi Akiva says in Rabbi Shimon's version that Rabbi Akiva says im halacha nekabel. If what you told me is something that you're chayev individually for each one, that for each noiser, if you heard that from your rebbeim as an established halacha nekabel, then we'll accept it. Okay, you heard it from them, so therefore I'm not going to argue on it. Im ledin yesh tshuva. But if you're only learning it from a kabel choymer, then I have a way of schlugging it up. And by the way, when he says Ima Locha Kabul, now obviously Rabbi Yeshua said that he hadn't heard it as Halacha. So he said he had to heard a different Halacha, and he's trying to make a Kabul Chaimer from it. So one possibility is just the Radal says that, okay, what Rabbi Akiva means is if what you had told me was based on a Halacha, I would have to accept it. But because you yourself are telling me it's not, you yourself are telling me it's based on a Kabul Chaimer that you came up with, then I have a way of schlugging it up. Amalai Hoshev, so Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, go ahead, schlug it up, let me hear. Omar, so Rabbi Akiva says, V'loi, no, you can't compare the two cases of Me'ila and of Chattas, Im Amarta B'Me'ila. You can say that such a concept applies to Me'ila, that you're going to be Machmer and make him Chayev a separate Oshem for Me'ila for each one of them, because you have a number of other Chumras in Me'ila. Sha'osabar Samachil Ka'oichel. First of all, if a person gives food of Hektish to somebody else, then he is the one who took it out from Hektish to Chulin, and he's the one who's going to be Chayev for Chayev Me'ila, not the other person, as we're going to learn in the Sefer Me'ila, because he's the one already who took it out from the possession of Hektish. Well, as opposed to, in other words, bringing a chassas for eating noiser, right? If Reuben feeds Shimon noiser, Shimon's the one who's Chayev.
That's a machat.
Reuben is not. Reuben is ain't shliach with Rabbeinu as usual. So Reuben's not. Reuben was over on the Fnever, but he's not doing it. That's mahana kinana. The same way when it comes to things that don't involve eating, the one who gives the hana is just as chayev as the one who receives the hana. In other words, same idea. In other words, if Reuben gives Shimon something of Hekish and Shimon uses it, Reuben is the one who took it out of the possession of Hekish, and therefore he's the one who is going to be liable for the Korban Me'ila. And we're going to learn about this in the Sefer Me'ila. Not Shimon uses it, right? The truth is, it's going to depend, actually. The point is, in other words, you have a Chumra in Me'ila that you don't find in the other thing. And we're going to learn in the Sefer Me'ila. Sometimes both of them are chayev. That's what we're saying over here. Mahana kinen. That sometimes the one who gives the hana is like the one who receives the hana. Sometimes both of them are going to be chayev. We're going to talk about in the Sefer Me'ila. The point is, right. And another Chumra in Me'ila. Sirat the Me'ila is man merubah. Another point is that when it comes to Me'ila, it combines together even if there's a long break between them. Let's say a person used a half something that of Hektish of a half a Krota today, and then another half a Krota tomorrow, it combines together and he's five a Kogit from Me'ila. Whatever. As opposed to with eating, as we learned before, if it's further apart in Kadesh or Lestras, then it doesn't count. You have a number of Chumras in Me'ila. The Rambam points out there's another one which we're going to learn in the Sefer Me'ila also, which is related to this Oichel, to this Mako Ka'oichel or whatever, which is that if Reuben sends Shimon as a Shliach to do such and such, and if there's Me'ila involved, then Reuben is going to be Chayev, not Shimon. Unlike the Chalat Torah Kula, usually Reuben sends Shimon to do something that involves Me'ila. He sends him as a Shliach, so he'll be able to buy something from the store. Usually, but Me'ila is an exception. That's it. So therefore, so we see, in other words, that there's chumras in Me'ila, toima ben noiser, shein by achas me'ila. So Rabbi Akiva says, how do you compare to noiser? None of those considerations apply. So not necessarily can you learn from Me'ila to noiser. Okay, so we have two versions in the Mishnah of what Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. We have the Tanakama's version that he asked him about where he shechted five korbanos outside of his mikdash, and we have Rabbi Shimon's version that he asked him about eating noiser from five korbanos. So, my kasha leila Reb Shimon, what's Reb Shimon's problem with, what's Reb Shimon's problem with learning the way the Tanakhama did, that the question was about shechting five korbanos outside of the Mikdash? The answer is hockey for Kashale. His problem is like, Maraya l'sheichet me'eichel. How are you even thinking to bring a proof from shechting? How are you bringing a raya to shechting from eating? Mala oichel shekein then. After all, a person eats, he's having hana. So that's that. So when he's having hana, you can say that. So when he's having hana, you could say that then we're machmer on him and we make him bring five korbanos. So as Rabbi Yeshua, as opposed to when he's shechet five korbanos, he's not having hana on it. So why is it? Eventually he's going to, but right now the shechet itself is not having hana. Okay? So therefore, so Rabbi Shimon says it can't be that Rabbi Akiva asked the question about shechet heizvach and machut, and Rabbi Yeshua answering him from the case from eating from one korban, because that wouldn't be a valid comparison. Then if that were the case, Rabbi Akiva should have made an objection. Now, how do you compare eating to shechet? Ella kachshol. He's moaning also.
I know he's
moaning. Why not? I'm right next to you. Ella kachshol. Rather, he asked him as follows. As we said in the Mishnah, person ate noisa from five different korbanos all in one halam. Mahu chayev b'cholachas v'achas v'achas afilin. Is he chayev individually for each one, or is he chayev one collectively for all of them? Omru loy lo shamayinu. And as Reb Shimon continues in the Mishnah, they said we have not heard from our rebbeim specifically about that. But Omer Reb Yeshua shamayti b'oichol mizevach echad mechamisha tamkoyin b'halam. Because I have heard that if a person ate from one korban, from five different dishes in one halam, shechayev akalachas achas mishum meila, and he's chayev individually for each one from meila. Beroya nishad bar kavachomer. And Rabbi Yeshua says, I see there being a kavachomer. So now Rabbi Shimon is talking about that Rabbi Akiva's question was about eating, no sir, and Rabbi Yeshua is answering him from also eating that involves meila. So therefore, it's a more valid comparison. Both of them involve anot.
Whereas before,
according to the Tanakhama, he was asking about shecht and korbanos. There's no reason to compare shecht and korbanos to eating. So what's the kavachomer? Ma mizevach echod shein gufen mechlokin. Madoch, when he's eating from one korban, but in five different dishes, it's not gufen mechlokin, because it all came from one korban. Chayev akolachas v'achas mishum tamchuyin mechlokin. But he's chayev individually for each one because they're in different dishes. So if he ate noisa from five different korbanos, with different gufim, because each korban is a different guf, loy kol shekin, how much more so?
Why loy kol shekin? Because I understand that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's on queen.
Yeah.
So why kol shekin?
Kol shekin, that kol shekin where there's gufim machlokin, because gufim is surely more of a difference than tamchuyin. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Fine. So that's it. That's Reb Shimon's version of Reb Akiva's question. What the halacha is like, we'll deal with later. The point is that Shitmukabata says the idea is, in other words, that there is a certain similarity because when it comes to tamchuyin, there's a different taste in each one because each way it's prepared tastes differently. And the same thing, when you have five different animals, each animal tastes slightly different than the other one. Okay. Amr Reb Shimon, loy kach shalai. So Reb Shimon again says, like he said in the Mishnah, that Reb Akiva had not asked about shechting korbanos. He had asked about eating. So ela ba'oicho mizevacha, or noisem mechamisha zvachim behelam, where he ate from five zvachim in one helam. Mahu chayev achas akolam and chayev akolachas achas. Is he chayev for all of them, or is it one korban for all of them, or is he chayev for each one individually? Omer lo l'shamayinu, Rabbi Yeshua emes, shamayti ba'oichol mezevachas ba'chamisha tamchurin shul chayev ha'chalachas ha'chal shamayla, v'royani shadvarim kavachayim. I'm not real sure why these last four lines over here are repeated, because we basically had that before, that Rav Shimon, we said it already, that Rav Shimon says that he didn't ask him this, he asked him different piece. I'm not real sure why the Gemara is repeating it. Okay. Anyway. Then we said, maybe actually the Gemara is just quoting it because to quote from the Mishnah in order to quote the next line. Yeah, actually, now that I see it, Shitim Kobetz actually takes out those four lines. Because, yeah, they're repetitions. Yeah, they're redundant. Okay. So we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva said, if what you're telling me is a halacha that you learned from your Rebbeim, then I would have to accept it, that he's chayev individually for eating from each of the korbanos. But if you're only learning it from a kavachomer, then I can shlug up the kavachomer. So the question is, Kibla Rabbi Yeshua lahot tshuva me Rabbi Akiva oy loy? Okay, Rabbi Akiva shlugged up the kavachomer. Did Rabbi Yeshua accept that and change his mind, and therefore say that, and therefore say that that if he eats noiser from five korbanos for halam achas, that he's only chayav one. Or did he not accept it because he's still stuck to his position because he didn't consider Rav Akiva's upshlug to be a valid one? Okay. Toshma, so we'll prove. Tanya, we learn in a braisa. So, Ochel heichatichis noiser mizevach echa behelam achas bechamisha tamchurin. If a person ate five pieces of noiser, all from one korban, and it was all in one halam, but they were in five different dishes, ene may be el achatas achas, he's only going to bring one achatas. Now that part obviously has to be like Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Yeshua had said in the Mishnah that's a five tamchurin, the chayiv separate. And if there was an uncertainty about it, as we're going to learn, and as we're going to start learning in the next parakim, that means, well, in other words, he had pieces of noiser and pieces of kosher meat in front of him, and he ate some of the pieces, and he's not sure whether the ones that he ate were the noiser pieces or the good pieces.
But in other words, then
you have the classic case of Ashim Tolui. So maybe Ashim Tolui, and that Al-Falakasakam, in that case, he's going to be bringing an Ashim Tolui for each one. No, the point is, as the Braisa is going to say later, sorry, Ba'aloi Hodeshalan, and maybe Al-Ashim Tolui Akas. Sorry, I skipped a line in the Braisa. Okay, so again, he ate five pieces from one korban and one halam, with five components, he's bringing only one chas. Ba'aloi Hodeshalan, if it's a case of Loi Hodeh, and maybe Al-Ashim Tolui Akas, and he's only bringing one Ashim Tolui. As the Braisa is going to point out soon, the general rule is that the number of Ashamas Tulian equals the number of Chatois that there would be if it was a Vada. The same way as if a person, and this is a general rule which we're going to have throughout, the same way as, for example, we had yesterday the case of the Bia Sakuris, where he does Bia with one woman and Skyd 8 Chatois, let's say. So the same way, let's say there was a Sophic, whether he had relations with her or with some other woman, he would be bringing 8 Ashram Tolis.
8 Sakers.
8 Sakers, right. So in each case, the number of Chatois, if it's a Vada, equals, well, here it's one. Here it's either one vaday that he ate, either it's one vaday that he ate the noser, or it's one sophic, and even though it's chamisha tamchoyin, and even though it's five pieces of noser, but it was behelam achas, and the tana of this braisa, which apparently is Rabbi Akiva, doesn't hold tamchoyin b'chalkin, so there's nothing to be mechalek.
So
the true thing is tamchoyin b'chalkin.
No, but tamchoyin is not b'chalkin.
No,
I understand that.
Okay.
But the principle is, you have to take into account whether or not it's tamchoyin b'chalkin.
Which Rabbi Akiva doesn't care about that. You have to take into account gufin b'chalkin, but there's no gufin b'chalkin, so five pieces of noiser from one korban. If you have to account whether there were different hoidas, but there wasn't, it was all the halamaka. Whether it was different halamas, but it wasn't, it was all the halamaka. So they're right.
But if Rabbi Akiva had tamchoyin b'chalkin,
then he would say fine. Right, but that's what we're going to discuss. This what I said, and see who it's for. Right. Okay, the point is, so far we have that he brings one chata, so if it was loy hoida, he brings one ashram tolui. Then, mechamisha tamchoyin b'chomesh halemis. What if he ate the noiser in five different tamchoyin, but it was in five different halemis, maybe chata sakalaka sakas, then he brings a chata individually for each one, because each halem makes for a different chata. And again, ba loy hoida shalahan, maybe ashram tolui akalaka sakas. And if each one of them was in a case of loy hoida, where he didn't know whether he ate the iser or not, then he's going
to
be bringing... Well, loy hoida, again, doesn't mean that he wasn't told. Loy hoida means that he had in front of him two pieces. One was osur, one is mutter. He ate one of them. The other one, let's say, is missing. And then now he doesn't know which one he ate. So he has to bring an ashram tolui.
But did he know that one was osur and one was mutter?
That we're going to deal with later in the Masechta, whether he has to.
Then why should he be
followed? Well, the fact of the matter is, no, not both of them are not osur. One of them is osur, one of them is not. So we're going to deal with later on, and we're going to deal with in a few blocks. We're going to start dealing with the dinim of Ashram Tolui. We'll get into all those. That's true. I never know. He said it is totally b'shogeg, but it's not b'mezid either, because he didn't. First of all, we don't know whether he actually ate the piece that was osur. If he didn't eat the piece that was osur, then he didn't commit an answer.
That's the point.
Okay, so it was careless of him. Fine. You could say it was careless of him. Fine. But that's the point. In other words, because he doesn't know whether what he ate was chalev or noiser or what have you, therefore he has to bring an Ashram Tolui. So we're going to get to later on, in the sixth parak of Amasechta, the last parak of Amasechta, we're going to be dealing all with all the dinim of Ashram Tolui. Okay. Anyway, the point is that again over here, because there's five halenas, therefore five chatois, and if each one there was a suffix, whether he ate the kosher piece or the not kosher piece, then he brings five Ashram Tolui. Then the Braisa continues, mehez vachem behelam achas. Then suppose he ate noisa from five different korbanos, but it was all in one of them. Chayev akalachas lachas. Then he's chayev individually for each one. Now let's consider which opinions is the braisa according to so far. So far, the first part was according to Rav Akiva. The second part, fine, where it was five halemas, fine, everybody would agree to that. But now we're talking about it was five pieces from five different korbanos. So chayev akalachas v'achas. So we're saying he's chayev individually for each one. Rav Yosi ben Yehuda I'm afilo ochel hei chatzichas mehei zvachim behelam achas eini mevi alachatas achas. Rav Yosi ben Yehuda though is saying that even if it was from five different korbanos, as long as it was behelam achas, he only brings one chatzas. V'al seken ein mevi ela ashem tolu. And for a suffix, he would only bring one ashem tolu. Klolo shel dava. The general rule is, and everybody agrees to this general rule, kol shechalukin b'chatois, chalukin b'ashavis. Wherever there's a distinction with the number of chatois, the same distinction applies to the number of ashavis. Therefore, ochol hei chatzitzos behei chamkoyin. And the braita finishes off. Ochol hei chatzitzos behei chamkoyin. Suppose he ate five pieces of noiser, each one paired in a different style. Mizevach echot, from one korban, the fnei zrikas damin, before the zrika, which is when mi'ila applies. Afilo behelam achas. So even if all those five were in one helam, chayev ochol achas achas mishum mi'ila, then he's chayev individually for each one for mi'ila. Now, the point is, in that last one, the ilu al sfeke, maybe oshem tolu leikatani. The braisa does not finish off that if there were suffix in that case, he would bring an oshem tolu. In the case there was a suffix of me'ila. If there was a suffix of me'ila, right. The braisa is not saying that if there was a suffix of me'ila, he brings an oshem tolu. Now, why not? The ilu al sfeke, maybe oshem tolu leikatani. So the braisa has not mentioned that if there was a suffix, he's bringing an oshem tolu. So now that we have the whole braisa money, let's figure out which opinion is the Tanakama of this braisa. Not Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, fine, but the Tanakama of this braisa is who? If the whole thing is according to Rabbi Akiva, and we already established the first part of it necessarily has to be according to Rabbi Akiva, because it said that if it's five, some Korean is only bringing one, and only Rabbi Akiva holds that. But then, listening now
holds five.
Well, no, Rabbi Yeshua holds five, right. So Reb Shimon, we don't know. Reb Shimon just said that that Reb Akiva's question was different. No, he agrees that Reb Yeshua holds that Tamchoyin Machalkin. Yeah. Okay, so listening now, if it was according to Reb Akiva, listening now is safer. It should have to say also in the safer, but second maybe Oshem Toleri, it should have to say that in the case of Suffolk of Me'ilah, he would be bringing an Oshem Toleri. So Hotman, as in fact we learn, one second. As we learn later on in our Masechta, Rabbi Akiva Machayev al Suffolk Me'ila Oshem Tolu. That Rabbi Akiva says that if you have a Suffolk of Me'ila, you bring an Oshem Tolu. We're going to have... One second. The Braisa should mention it. Once we know, we're going to have later on, at the end of the fifth paragraph, we're going to talk about that, that Rabbi Akiva holds that you have to bring an Oshem Tolu for a Suffolk of Me'ilah. So our Braisa should have mentioned that. The same way as in all the other cases it mentioned, if it was a Vada, you bring X number of Chatois, and if it was a Suffolk, you bring X number of Asham Me'ilahs, of Oshem Tolu, the same way it should say over here. If he was over on Me'ilah five times, then he would bring five Asham Me'ilahs, and if there was a Suffolk, then he'd bring five Asham Me'ilahs, because that's what Rabbi Akiva holds. The point is, we have an Achloikas over there like this. Rabbi Akiva holds that. We're going to learn over there that the other opinion against Rabbi Akiva says that no, you only bring an Oshem Tolui when, had it been a Vadai, you would be bringing a Chata. In the case of Me'ilah, you're not bringing a Chata, you're bringing an Oshem. Therefore, you don't substitute an Oshem Tolui for that. The point is, apparently our Braisa cannot be according to Rabbi Akiva. You always bring an Oshem for Me'ilah. Yeah.
Why you don't bring a Chata?
So that's what the Torah says. So the other chacham over there hold. We're going to learn on Daf Chafei. We're going to talk about this concept that here Rabbi Akiva against the chacham. Rabbi Akiva mechayev al suffix me'il Hashem Tolui. The chachamim posts. So because the chachamim hold, you only bring an Hashem Tolui when had it been a case of where you knew that you did wrong, then you bring the chacham. In the case of me'il, it's not. Avada, and then you bring a chapas, then the sugar and the suffix, you bring an Oshem Tolu. But here we're here with Vada, you bring an Oshim, you bring an Asham Neilus, then the Sophist, you don't bring an Oshim Tovah. But if you're not, then
if
not.
If it's an ashram that you bring a vadai,
then you don't bring anything.
So it's like a level down.
I guess you could say that. The point is, so all brisa, therefore, apparently cannot be according to Rabbi Akiva, because then it's missing that point. El olav Rabbi Yeshua. He apparently, therefore, the brisa must be like Rabbi Yeshua. We're saying that if it was in five halemis, he brings five chatois. So only halemis are machalkin, but the fact that it was different karbonis is not machalik. Ushmamina kiblamine. Apparently that would mean that Rabbi Yeshua accepted Rabbi Akiva's argument. So therefore, now the Braisa would reflect Rabbi Yeshua's current opinion. So the Mishnah would be telling us Rabbi Yeshua's original opinion. That he argued that different karbonos are mechalas. Now we're saying though he accepted Rabbi Akiva's argument that you can't compare the Oshim from Me'ilah to the Chatas, because Me'ilah has many different, more stringencies. So if we say Rabbi Yeshua accepted Rabbi Akiva's argument, there you go, then the price goes according to Rabbi Yeshua. So the first part is according to Rabbi Akiva, but it's also according to Rabbi Yeshua. And the last part is Rabbi Yeshua kept his opinion like the other Chachamim, that if there's no Chatas Vaday, then there's no Oshim Toli B'Shogig, and therefore he doesn't mention the case of Sophic Me'ilah, bring an Oshim Toli. So the Gemara says, no, Ela Adraba. But on the contrary, consider this, be safer, but look at the safer of the Braisa, the Katoni Mehezvach Masil Behelamachas. We said that if he ate from five korbanos, even if it was in one helam, Chayav Akalachas Vachas, we're saying he's Chayav individually for each one, Shmamin Aloykib. Apparently that means he didn't accept Rabbi Akiva's argument. Because otherwise, why is he being Chayav individually? If it was all Behelamachas, then why is he being Chayav? Because we thought that the end of the Braisa apparently can only go according to Rabbi Yeshua. The beginning of it, the first case of the Braisa that says that if it was all from one korban but it was in five tamchoin, he's only bringing one chatas. So therefore, that's apparently Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind about the five tamchoin. But now we're saying, on the other hand, the fact is, it's still saying that from five zvachim, he's bringing the five chatas. So there's Rabbi Yeshua is still sticking to his opinion. So apparently that shows that Rabbi Yeshua did not accept Rabbi Akiva's argument.
Maybe he accepted his first document, not for the complete.
No, why would we say that? So one second. The Elamai Islam. So what do you have to say of necessity? How are you going to work out this brisa? Tanoi, it must be that there's machlokas tanoim within Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. The ikatana de kibla, the ikatana de kibla. That apparently there are some tanoim who say that Rabbi Yeshua did change it, that Rabbi Yeshua did accept Rabbi Akiva's position and change his mind. So the part that says that Halemus Machalkin and not Zvachim would say that Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind, and therefore Halemus are Machalik, but Zvachim are not. And then when it says Hey Zvachim, Behelamach, that would be a different Tana, who says that Rabbi Yeshua did not accept Rabbi Akiva's position. So the Gemara says no. No, a few.
Right now we're saying one time I would hold yes, one time I would hold no.
Yeah, we would say that. Because the ratio seems to be that he did change his mind, and the ratio seems to be that he did.
Right.
Well, the answer is afilu tamer Rabbi Akiva. Not necessarily. You could say the entire brisa goes like Rabbi Akiva. Bahai Tana Sova, well, not totally like Rabbi Akiva, but Bahai Tana Sova like Habase Bechada or Polagale Bechada. You could say the Tana of this brisa agrees with Rabbi Akiva on one detail and disagrees on another. In other words, the brisa is not necessarily telling us anything about Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. It's telling us something about what they hold Rabbi Akiva's opinion is, or what this Tana holds and doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. He agrees with one part, right? He agrees as far as Halem, that Halem is Mechalkin, or Polygalib Me'ilas, but he disagrees as far as Me'ilah, where he would say that you don't bring an Oshim Toli for Sophic Me'ilah, whereas
Yeah. He agrees. And
well, no, that was you were talking in your, that we talking about, you were talking in Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Now we're saying that the Tana of this Braita is not necessarily Rabbi Yeshua. It's some other Tana, some other unknown Tana who agrees with Rabbi, who agrees with Rabbi Akiva what's Mechalik and what's not Mechalik, but he disagrees with him about Sufik Me'ila bringing an Ashen Chalik. Fine. Okay. Hey, he dummy, hey, me. So no conclusion. Okay. So, heichidami heimilas, how do you manage to find five different kinds of meila in the same carbon? That we were saying that he should have to bring for each one individually for meila. Like we learned, similar to what we learned, we're actually going to learn in the second meila. Chamisha dvarim ba'ola mitzaken. There are five components of a carbon ola that combine together. That all of them, that each of them, if a person eats them, that even if a person eats, well, Rashi says that actually we're not so much talking about eating them. Rashi says we're talking about the omer tzarif as far as how law b'chur. If a person brings them outside of this, if a person brings a combined kazayin of all five of these things together, he's going to be chayv kares or chatas for the shogun. The five, right? Well, because it's one kazayin altogether. Habasar, v'hachelev, v'hayayin, v'hasolus, v'hashemen. The meat of the carbon, the fat of it, the wine that accompanies the carbon as part of the mitzvah, the flour and the oil. So all of those are meant to go and be burnt or poured on the mizbeach, as the case may be. Each one of them, therefore, individually, he'd be chayav kares for bringing outside of the mitzvah. Therefore, if he combined together a kazayin of a little of one and a little of the other and so forth, and offered it outside the mitzvah, then he has one complete kazayin of what was supposed to be offered on the mizbeach, and therefore his chayav kares. Now, that's only by an oila, by the way. If it was a different kind of carbon, the meat wouldn't count. The meat is meant to be eaten. By an oila, the meat is meant to be burnt.
So it wouldn't count.
Then by oil it does count, because the meat is supposed to be burned, just like the chalim. If let's say it was a shlamim, then the meat wouldn't combine towards that. We learned in Zmachim that only the things that are supposed to be offered on the mizbeach count towards that.
Right.
So the point is, in other words, so therefore, so you have five components of the carbon. So suppose now, in the same way, suppose a person ate a prusa's worth of the meat and a prusa's worth of the fat, and so on and so forth. That's how he'd be chayav five meals.
Okay.
Chizki
Amar. Five.
Well, right. Chizki Amar Gunshahov. Well, I mean, the fact is you have chumras in meila, but we're talking about, in other words, when the end of the Braita says that if he ate five pieces from one carbon before Zrit of Dhamma, he's chayav individually for each meila. That's what we're talking about, because, for example, he ate from each of the five components of the carbon. Chizkiya says you don't even need that. You could talk about he ate pieces from five different limbs of the carbon. Rish Lakish, after the time of the Eivor, Rish Lakish says you don't even need that. You could even say that he ate from all one limb. Mashkachas Abakosis. Let's say, for example, he ate from the shoulder of the animal. Rashi describes the shoulder of an animal has five, and the shoulder meaning the foreleg really, has five sections of it. There's the hooves, the lower bone, and the middle of the shoulder. Well, meaning the foreleg of the animal, or the front leg of the animal. You have the hoof, you have the three bones. When you say kostif over here, apparently we mean the everything attached to the shoulder, meaning the front leg. So therefore, you have the hoof, you have three bones above it, and then you have the shoulder blade. So therefore, you have five things right there in that itself. Tosfos actually says there are seven bones in it. I'm not sure where Tosfos is getting the count of seven, but okay, whatever. The point is you have multiple sections where a person could eat different parts of it and be chayev for me'ila, but perhaps just because I guess each part tastes a little different, so he has different anos. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, says another case could be he ate it in five different kinds of pots. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says he ate it in five different flavors. So Rashi explains five different pots means, let's say, five different, it was cooked, to, each piece was cooked together with a different vegetable. So therefore, they have five different flavors of vegetables in them. And then Heimin et Taimim would be five different ways of preparing it. For example, Rashi says, let's say you have the roasted, cooked, pickled, overcooked, stewed, pot roast. So therefore, you have five. Tosfos flips around those last two definitions and says that minei kedera would mean what Rashi just defined, different ways of preparing it, like roasted versus boiled, et cetera, et cetera. And taimim would be, for example, where it was cooked with different kinds of spices. Okay, the point is, in other words, so in each of those ways, you have a different way of having a knot from each one. So even though as far as halacha, we don't say tamchuyin mechalkin when it comes to chatoi, we do say that it's mechalik when it comes to mi'eva. So therefore, if you ate, forget it, if you ate a shava prutha of it prepared one way, and a shava prutha prepared another way, and so on and so forth, then it's going to be chayav an individual kosher mi'eva for each one.
We don't say that for
chatois. If you ate one kazayis of chaylev from an animal that was boiled and another one that was stewed and so on and so forth, as long as it's a halamash, then it's only one chatois. Okay. Rabbi Akiva, sha'alti et Rabbi Eliezer. So now Rabbi Akiva says, I asked you, before we had questions that he asked Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, now we're going to have something he asked Rabbi Eliezer. Suppose a person does many different malachas and many different shabbosim, but they're all me'ein malacha achas, they're all akin to one malacha, and it's all in one helem. Mahu, what we did, chayav achas akolim, el chayav akol achas achas. Is it chayav in one korban for all of them, or one for all, or one for each one individually? The Gemara is going to explain. Now, when you get down here, there's two details in what Rabbi Akiva is asking. There's separate Shabbosim and there's separate Malachas. So not really separate all this Malachas, but that's what we're going to have to figure out why he asked the question exactly this way. What do we mean, by the way, Me'ein Malacha Achas? Rashi explains, let's say he did a bunch of toldos of one av on many different Shabbos. So one Shabbos, let's say he plowed, and another Shabbos he dug a hole in the ground. Well, that's what we're going to figure out. That's what we have to figure out. So Rashi understands me'ein malacha achas mean that he did a bunch of toldos of one av. So you have, for example, the tolda of the malacha of planting, and then it has various toldos, for example, pruning trees and watering plants, and then so on and so forth. So Rashi understands that me'ein malacha achas means that he did different toldos, so he did one tolda on one Shabbos and a different tolda of the same av malacha on a different Shabbos. The Rambam actually, well, that's the question, right? So again, it was all behelamachad, but it was different Shabbosim, and it was all subsets of one malacha, but on the other hand, different actions within that, different types of actions. That's what we have to figure out. The Rambam, by the way, has a slightly different definition of Me'ein Malacha. The Rambam understands you don't just have Ovis and Tulvis. The Rambam understands you have a three-level classification. You have the Av, you have Me'ein Av, and you have Tulvis. Me'ein, so the Rambam explains like this. Me'ein is, so to give an example involving planting. So the Rambam learns the Av Malacha of planting is the plant, a seed in the ground or whatever. Me'ein of that malacha, for example, would be pruning, where you're doing directly something to the plant. You're cutting off branches in order to stimulate the growth. That would be me'ein. Meaning you cut off dead branches or whatever. So that would be right. But it promotes the growth of the tree. So the Rambam understands that that's me'ein of zereya. And then a tolda of zereya would be to water plants, where you're not doing anything to the plant itself, but you're watering it. And then I'm similarly explained to all the other office malachas. You have that three-part classification. Av, me'ein av, and tolda. Whereas according to Rashi, you don't really have that. You have av and you have tolda. Whatever. Okay, but whatever. Then I'm understands that. Because then I'm understands that when we say over here, me'ein malacha achas, what we mean over here is you did different avos, different me'eins on different Shabbat. Yeah, from here, from other places. So for example, again, then I'm would understand. Let's say the guy planted one Shabbat and another Shabbat he pruned and so forth. Yeah. Okay. So again, so the question is, Rabbi Akiva is asking, is he chayav one chatas for the whole thing or individually chatas for each one? So that's the question. Rabbi Eliezer answers. Amaloi, it says here, it's really Amali, because Rabbi Akiva himself is telling over what happened. So Rabbi Eliezer told me, I can show you by a kavachomer that he's going to be chayav a separate chatas for each one. The kavachomer is like this. Uman nida she'en b'toitzois harbi v'chatois harbi, madach by a nida. There's not a lot of different kinds of toitzois, a lot of different kinds of outcomes. Because unlike Shabbos, where you have many different malachas, and you have August, and you have Tolus, and so forth, with Nidah, you don't have that. You're not allowed to have relations with her, period. So you don't have a lot of different outcomes. You don't have a lot of different ways of being chai v'chatos. You have beer with her, you don't have beer with her. There's not really a lot of middle ground there. And yet, chai v'chalachos, yet, he's chayiv individually for every bia, as we learned a day or two ago in the Gemara that Rabbi Eliezer had held, that if a person had relations multiple times with a nidah, he's chayiv individually for each one. So therefore, if we say that, Shabbos, Shieshba, Tetzai, Sabe, well, in Shabbos, where you have many different possible outcomes, because there are many different malachas, but Hatao, Misses, Sabe, and you have many different ways of being chayiv, Misses, or Chathas, or whatever the case may be, how much more so he should be chayiv individually for each one. Okay, however, Rav Akiva says, I answer him back. You can't compare. Im amarti b'nida sheyesh bo shtei azharos. How can you compare? By nida is one thing. You have two different prohibitions in the sense both of them have a mitzvah not to do this. Both of them have a mitzvah. Well, in the sense that the man is not allowed to have relations with the woman, and the woman is also to have relations with the man.
So you have to warn the man and the woman.
Well, in the case of Nidia, the maximum is Kores anyway, so there's no warning necessary. But for example, if it was Mrs. Baker, let's say, for example, with a man having relations with his mother or with an Asia fish or what have you, yes, but in order for both of them to be high, so both of them would have to be warned, sure. They would have to be hit or asked on the Mitzvah, yeah. But the point is, all of the Isurim of Arayas apply equally to the man and the woman. But yes, the same way, for example, the Torah phrases all of them in the masculine, whatever, but all of them apply equally well to the man. We know that because the Pasuk says, Ish isha kol she'evasar lo sikriv vu, you, plural, should not come close, the galas erva. So from that we learn that it applies equally to the men and the women, yeah. So the point is, Rabbi Akiva is saying, so when it comes to a nida, the man has an issue not to have relations with the woman. The woman also has an issue not to have relations with the man. And if they were over on it, the shrigan, each of them is bringing their own chafas.
But the woman knows that she's nida, the man doesn't know.
Yes, but a shrigan could be that she didn't know that it was also to have relations when she's nida, or that, or for example.
Why should he be responsible for that?
What do you mean, why should he be responsible?
She doesn't know. Why should he be responsible?
The fact of the matter is that there's shrigan involved. She was nida. Later on, he finds out that she was nida and it was Usher.
Whatever. He could never have known that.
Okay, it doesn't matter. The point is there's different types of shogig. You have the kind of shogig, for example, first of all, you could have conceivably she didn't know. Let's say, remember, a woman can be nida with even one drop of blood coming out, as we're going to learn in the second nida. So she herself may not know that she's nida.
Well, in the case when she knows.
If she knows she's nida and she has relations with him, she's high card. He's a shogig because he doesn't know she's nida. So then he's high of a chasam. But if, let's say, for example, both of them were shogig, she didn't know she was a nidya, let's say, which you could argue, you know, first of all, she may not have known that she bled at all. She may not have known that a nidya is even also. She might not know, for example, that she might think, let's say, that only a certain shade of red makes her tummy, and she doesn't know, which we're going to learn in the second nidya, that there were several shades of red and one shade of black that makes her tummy. We'll talk about a nidya. We'll get to detail that later. But the point is, there were various possible cases of shogig. And by the way, you also have the situation which we learned about in Shavuot, where they're having relations and she becomes nida in the middle of it, where then he has to wait until he softens and only then withdraw. If he were to withdraw while he's still erect, then he's also chayav chatos. If he doesn't know, he wasn't, because he has the same hana. Is the expression in the Gemara over there? The going out gives him the same much pleasure as going in. Think about it, you know. And so therefore, yeah.
So he has to wait.
The point is, if he withdrew while he's erect, then he has to bring a chatos for that alone because he didn't know. Okay, the point is that. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Akiva says, so in Nidah you have two Azharis, because both he and she have the same issue not to have relations at that time. Shehu Muzu al Nidah, and Nidah was Heresolav. He is warned by the Torah not to have relations with Nidah. She is warned not to have relations with him. So therefore, you can be Machma over there and say that each one, you're going to be high for each Bia. That's a Homer of Nidah. Shabbos. How do you compare that with Shabbos? Shein ba'el Azmarach. You only have one Azharah. Shabbos is not warned to not be desecrated by a person. And the person is.
What is more important, the Shelvis or the Azara?
That's the point. We're better back in the sense. Nevertheless, the fact that you have two Azaras over there, Almali, Rabbi Eliezer answers to Rabbi Akiva, Habal Akhtanis, Yichiach. Okay, so I'll prove you that I'm still right. Consider the case where he has relations with a Kana who's a Nidja. Yeah. Shein Bo El Azara Achas. There's only one Azara. Only he is Mother. She being a Kana is not yet Chayiv Mitzvah.
So
therefore, and b'chayiv akolachas machas, yet he's going to be chayiv for each individual beer with her. So you see, it doesn't matter how many azharis there are. It doesn't matter whether there's an azhara on him and on her. With her while she's a ninja. But he is the only one who's chayiv. She can't be, not only she's not chayiv, she doesn't even have an azhara. The warnings in the Torah are addressed to adults. Well, the point is, Rabbi Eliezer says, that even in that case, you're being chayv from an individual chatas for each year. So therefore, you want to say that Nida is more stringent than Shabbos because there are two Azharis. But even in this case, where there's only one Azhara, I'm telling you you have to bring a chatas for each one. Therefore, the same thing should apply with Shabbos. Yes, there's only one Azhara with Shabbos because you're told not to break Shabbos, but Shabbos is not told to be broken by you. And yet, so therefore, it would be exactly the same as having relations with a Tana who is an idiot. There's only one Azhara. That Azhara is only one-sided. And yet, you have to bring a chatas for each beer with the nigger. So the same thing. You should have to bring a chatas for each beer. Yeah.
So they're the same thing.
Yes, that's the point. You're saying, Amarti boy. However, Rabbi Akiva says that's still not a valid comparison. Im Amarti b'ktanis. Yes, you can say that din would apply to having relations with a Tana who is a nigger. Sha'af apisha ein behen achav. Granted, there's no Azhara on her right now. She's a Tana. Yesh behen la'achazman. But there is eventually going to be an Azhara on her. Because eventually she's going to grow up and be subject to this mitzvah. Toma b'Shabbos chayin ba'achshav lo la'achim man. How do you compare by Shabbos? There's always going to be a one-sided thing. Amali habala behema yichiach. So Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, so then I'll prove it to you rather from a case where a person has relations with an animal. Also, he's chayiv individually for each bia. We don't say the animal is never going to be chayiv in mitzvah, and yet he's chayiv individually for each one. So Shabbos should be the same thing.
Why?
Because it's the same logic. If by the behemoth also, the Azhara is only one side. The person has an issue. Shabbos and behemoth is also one. And if by behemoth we're being mechayev him for each beer, then by Shabbos we should also be mechayev him for each. Amarti lo, the Rabbi Akiva answers, actually, habehemoth to Shabbos. The animal is like Shabbos. Now, what does that mean? There's two possible ways of understanding what Rabbi Akiva means from that. One is that Rabbi Akiva accepted Rabbi Eliezer's view that you're right, just like a behemoth you chayiv for each one, so also Shabbos you must be chayiv for each one. Or maybe Rabbi Akiva means, no, actually I have the same question about behemoth as I have about Shabbos. So we'll see in the Gemara what Rabbi Akiva meant.
It seems more logical.
It seems more logical, but we're going to have two different. We're going to have several different explanations in the Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. First of all, my kaboy mine. What exactly is Rabbi Akiva's question to Rabbi Eliezer? If he's asking each Shabbos is kegufian damyan v'iloi, is he asking whether each Shabbos is considered like a separate guf? Because he's asking the case where he broke Shabbos multiple different Shabbos. So is he asking whether each one is considered like a separate guf and therefore guf and mechalkin? Rashi says that actually we're not really asking, the question isn't really whether we consider each Shabbos like a separate guf. The question is rather that given that he did these malachas on different Shabbosim, do we consider it as if it was two different malachas that were done by Hela Mechad? There's no question if he does two malachas by Hela Mechad, he's high of one chatas. So he's had two chatas, rather. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva, so if the question is, if Rabbi Akiva is just asking the fact that he did in the same malacha on two different Shabbosim makes him chayiv for two chatas, then why is he asking such a convoluted case?
How do you know that?
That's because that's what the Gemara is saying.
Mike
by Mine, what is he asking?
Rashi
explains. Rashi explains. Where he's mentioning a bunch of Shabbosim, and he did the same malacha that he did on other Shabbos. He's specifically mentioning that he did Toldos, not Ovis. Why is Rabbi Akiva asking the question in that way? If his whole question is, do we consider the fact that he did the same malacha on different Shabbosim, is it considered like different gufim? Is it considered like different malachas in effect? Well then, boy, mine, boy, then he should ask as follows. How is the malacha nachas b'shabbat is habit. Then why bring in the tulis? Let him just say he does the same exact malacha every Shabbos. He plants a seed one Shabbos, and then he plants a seed the next Shabbos, and he plants a seed the third Shabbos, and so forth. Why bring in the whole matter of May? El of what? Meaning that they're told us through it. The Rambam says other variations of the av, whatever, but why not? Is the El of Vladim Malachas Ika Ovis Damian Ve'iloid Boy Mine, or are you going to say that he's asking him whether Vladis count like Ovis to his purpose? In that case, Ni Boy Mine Haitza Malachas Abimain Malacha Achas Kashabbat. So he doesn't have to ask about different Shabbatim. He could ask, suppose that he planted and pruned and watered, let's say, on one Shabbat, on the same Shabbat. Yes. Why is he mentioning the planting and pruning and watering and also each one on a different Shabbat? Right. Omar Rabba, the Rabba says, Amri Beirav, so they said in the yeshiva, actually, yes, Tauta Boy Mine. Actually, Rabbi Akiva is trying to ask, is asking two different questions in one. First of all, he's asking, Shabbos is Kegufian Damyan Ve'iloi, Boy Mine. Number one, he's asking, does the fact that he did these malachas on separate Shabbos, and does it count like different Gufim? And number two, Vladi Malachas, Kim Malachas, Damian Eloi. And he's also asking the fact that he did Vladi Malachas on different Shabbosim, are those considered, the fact that he did Vladi Malachas, are those considered like separate Malachas? So it's two questions. So he's asking number one about the different Shabbosim, and number two about different Vladis, are those considered, yes. Okay. So the question is like this. The Shabbosim, Heichi Mibay. Okay, what exactly is the scenario? That he's asking about regarding the different Shabbos? What exactly was the nature of his shogeg? Now we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, and we learned way back in Shabbos that when it comes to Shabbos, you have two different basic kinds of shogeg. You have actually more, but whatever. For our purpose, we're going to distinguish between two different types of shogeg. There is where he didn't know it was Shabbos, but he knew that this is a malacha, which is also on Shabbos, but he didn't know today was Shabbos. Shigur as Shabbos, v'zodin malacha. And then you have the other way around. He knew it's Shabbos, but he didn't know this malacha is also. That's v'zodin Shabbos, v'shigur as malacha. So what is the scenario we're talking about over here?
Does that change?
Yeah, makes a big difference. Shigur as Shabbos, v'zodin malacha. If he's asking about the case where he didn't know it was Shabbos, but he knew that these malachas are also, well, in that case, is it like this? Shigas Shabbos v'zod malachas pshitalei diyomim shemen kaim havim yediyah lachalik. Do we say that if the shgaga was that he didn't know it was Shabbos, but he knew the malachas of Asur, then we would say that Rabbi Akiva knows for a fact that the days between one Shabbos and the next are considered like a yediyah.
Havim
yediyah lachalik. Meaning, in other words, that therefore each Shabbos, therefore, is considered a separate halakha. Because even if, let's say, so he didn't know the first Shabbos, he didn't know it was Shabbos, but inevitably, between now and the next Shabbos, he's going to find out that that was Shabbos.
Why could you say, was Shiva Shabbos? He didn't know any Shabbos.
Because that's not called Shiva Shabbos. That's a different thing. That's that he didn't know Ika Shabbos at all. We're going to quote the Mishnah and Shabbos in this connection on Omen Days. Okay, so the Mishnah and Shabbos tells us like this. You have a three-part rule that it says. If the person doesn't know about, forgot about Shabbos altogether, Kolashecheach Ika Shabbos, then he brings only one chatos for all the Shabbatim he broke, no matter how many Shabbatim and no matter how many Malachim. That's not called Shigas Shabbos.
That's called
the Kolashecheach Iker Shabbos, that he didn't know about Shabbos altogether. Yeah. Then Shigas Shabbos is, he knew that, he didn't know that it was Shabbos, but he knew that these are Malachim. Then he's chayiv individually for each Shabbos. And then you have where he knew that it was Shabbos, but he didn't know that these are Malachim. Then he's chayiv individually for each Malachim. So is it that Rabbi Akiva knows for a fact that Shigas Shabbos was not in Malachas? There's no question then that each Shabbos would count as a separate unit because the Yomim Shabbat Tayim having Yediyah Lachalik, the fact that there were days in between one Shabbos and the next, that constitutes a Yediyah and makes a Chil. Rashi in Shabbos explains, the reason is because inevitably between last Shabbos and this Shabbos, he has to have found out that day was Shabbos. So therefore, there
would be in jail.
So that's how Rashi explains. Tosfos over there has some problems, including, I don't know if that's the exact question, but whatever, something along those lines, not necessarily to find out that that's Shabbos. Tosfos rather explains a little differently. He knows that Shabbos comes only once every 7 days. So obviously he has to know that there's days in between that were weekdays. He may not know. Fine. He may have thought that last Shabbos was Wednesday, but that means he knows that the next day is Thursday, and the next day after that is Friday, and so forth. So at some point, he knows that there's a day, that there's a day between this time and the next time. He knows that there's a, day that's not Shabbos.
My father was in jail, and he didn't know when was Shabbos.
That's not the point. But even if he doesn't know when Shabbos is, he knows that 6 out of every 7 days are weekdays, right? Therefore, if he knows that on a certain day he did this malacha, and he knows that 7 days later he did, let's say, a me'ain of the same malacha, we're saying what he
can count the days.
Okay, but...
Even if
you can't count the exact number of days, but fine, you lost track whether it's 6 days, whether it's 7 days, 6 days, or 8 days, or whatever, fine. But the fact of the matter is, not all those days were Shabbos. The Shabbos only comes once every 7 days. That's how Tosfos explains over there, therefore, that inevitably, you could say that inevitably between when he has to have known that from the last time he did this malacha a few days ago until now, when he did it again, there had to have been weekdays in between. And that would be considered a Yediyah
L'Chol.
He doesn't know the particular day. Fine, but that's fine. That's Shig, that's Shabbos. He didn't know that it was Shabbos. That's what we're talking about.
Sure.
Okay, that's what we're talking about. So then you could say that Rabbi Akiva knows for a fact, therefore, that he's chayav individually for each Shabbos. The Zodah and Shabbos for Shigyas Malachas Udibayimine. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva's question is where he knew each time that was Shabbos. He just didn't know that these various Malachas are Azur. And then the question would be, Ikigufyan Damyan Ayulai, do we consider each one like a separate guf or not? Is that Rabbi Akiva's question? That if it was Shigyas Shabbos for Zodin Malachas, there's no question he's chayav individually for each Shabbos. The question would be, if it was Zodin Shabbos, each time he knew it was Shabbos, he just didn't know that these Malachas are Azur. So therefore, maybe you could say it's all hell and not hell. Because he did not necessarily really have a chance to learn between last Shabbos and this one, that planting or watering or what have you is Azur. Is that his question? Oy Dilma, or maybe we could say the other way around. Zodin Shabbos for Shigas Malachas Pshitalaydish Gufin Damyan. If he knew that it was Shabbos but the Shogig was on Malachas, then there's no question that you would consider them like separate Gufin, because each Malacha is a separate Malacha of its own. The Shigas Shabbos, the Zodin Malachas, maybe we could say that net Rabbi Akiva's question is in the case where he didn't know it was Shabbos, he knew these Malachas are also, the question would be, he's asking Rabbi Eliezer, this that we were just saying a minute ago, the fact that there are days in between necessarily is a chiluk, is it in fact? The Yomim Shabbat time, I have an Yadil Achalik Ilad. Do we say that the days in between constitute a Yadil? Or not? Or do we say that for the fact that last Shabbos he didn't know it was Shabbos, and this Shabbos he didn't know it was Shabbos, maybe it's all considered one halakha? So those are two different ways of understanding Rabbi Akiva's question. So now we're going to have several different opinions of Amiroyim on the subject. Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, explanation number one, Mitzabra Shigas Shabbos Bezodin Malachas, it's logical to say, based on the Mishnah that we're going to quote soon from Shabbos, that if he was Shigig on Shabbos and Mazid on Malachas, that Pshitalei the Yomim Shabbin Chaim having a deal of Chalik, that Rabbi Akiva knows for a fact on the basis of the Mishnah that we're going to quote soon, that the days between one Shabbos and the next amount to a Yediyah, and therefore he's bringing a separate Chatas for each Shabbos, because again, either, as Rashi says, he has to have found out between then and now that it was Shabbos, or like Tosfos says, because he has to have known there were weekdays in between, that there were days in between that weren't Shabbos.
There could be cases where he would not exactly know which days were days.
That's not the point. The point is, he knows it was a few days, right? So even if he...
What's a few days?
Whatever, even if it was 2 days. The fact of the matter is, Shabbos is only 1 day out of every 7. So, no matter how you look at it, if the day that he did Malacha was in fact Shabbos, and now it's 2 days later, let's say, then, okay, there had to have been 1 day in between. There was a Sunday in between. If, let's say, we would think that maybe the day that he did Malacha was Friday, and now it's Sunday, okay, well, it's Sunday now. It's a weekday. But there's always going to be days in between. And he has some vague way of knowing that there's not the exact number of days. At least he knows that there have been days in between. And of necessity, not all of those days can have been Shabbos. Shabbos is only 1 out of every 7.
Right.
So therefore, so you could say, so Rabbi says, Rabbi Akiva takes that as a given, that Shigas Shabbos, Vizod and Malachas, there's no question each Shabbos counts as a separate entity because it was a Yediyah Bein Chaim.
Even if he doesn't know that Shabbos and then there's days that are not Shabbos, and then it's Shabbos.
Right, so therefore, okay, everybody agrees he knows that. So the point is, Rabbah is saying that Rabbi Akiva would take that as a given. Those days constitute a Yediyah L'Chala. Those days prevent it from being considered a Hela Mecha. So according to Rashi, you don't even need that. Just the fact that Rashi assumes that at some point during the following week, he finds out that the day that he did Malacha was in fact Shabbos. Okay, so then you would say, so that Rabbi Akiva takes as a given. That's what every Shabbos, I mean, that's what we're saying, right? Okay, so the point, every Shabbos is considered a separate Shabbos, exactly. So then Rabbi says, the Zobin Shabbos for Shivus Malachas are going, right? Therefore, Rabbi Akiva's whole question is where he knows that it's Shabbos, but he didn't know that these are Malachas, and he did the Malachas on various Shabbosim. So therefore, he's asking, Gufim, Damian, Eilad. Are they considered like separate Gufim, and therefore separate Chatois, or not? And therefore, only one Chatois. The Zobin Shabbos for Shivus Malachas Gufim, Damian. So therefore, the answer is, says Rabbi, Rabbi Yezer explained to Rabbi Akiva that Zodin Shabbat is Shigas Malachas, and that Zodin Shabbat and Shigas Malachas is to Gufin Damian. It is considered like separate Gufin. Therefore, he has to bring a separate Chatas for each. He has to bring a separate Chatas for each Malacha, for each Malacha, for each Shabbat, right? V'loy Kabel Minei. So at end, continues Rabbi Akiva did not accept that answer from Rabbi Yezer.
Rabbi Akiva said that
it can be considered kigufin damian as far as the separate malachas, as far as the separate malachas, but not as far as the separate. But and then he also asked him, "Did vladim malachas can malachas damian?" Also, he asked him whether vladim malachas are like malachas, v'loy kabel minei, and he didn't accept that. Yeah. Omer Rabba Minoam Minallah, so Rabba didn't accept that. I mean, that a Vlad is considered in the same category as an Av, and therefore if he does an Av and a Tolda at the Hela Mecha, then he's chayv only one, for the Jewish.
And now it's the
same category. Same category as a Tolda, it's Tolda. Therefore, if he does an Av and a Tolda of the same type, so for example, if he plants and he waters, then he would actually only be chayv one, unlike Rabbi Yezer is saying to. Okay. So Rabbi says, where do I get that understanding of the Mishnah from? It's like this. We have a Mishnah in Shabbos, the beginning of the seventh parak, that says, Klal Godol Amar B'Shabbos. The Chacham...
We learned it
back when we had it. Yeah. Okay. Klal Godol Amar B'Shabbos. The Chacham said a great general rule as far as Shabbos. Kol HaShecheach Iker Shabbos. Somebody who forgot the whole concept of Shabbos. Va'asa Malachas Habe B'Shabbos Habe. He did many different Malachas on many different Shabbosim. Ein Echai V'Lachas. Eventually, when he finds out about what happened, then he's bringing one Chatas to cover all of it. Second case, Hayedea Iker Shabbos. He knows about the basic concept of Shabbos, but he doesn't know that today is Shabbos. This is Shigurah Shabbos with God in Malachas. V'asa Malachas Habe B'Shabbos Habe. He does many different Malachas on many different Shabbosim. Ein Echai V'Lachas. He's chayav a chatas for each individual Shabbos. So each chatas covers all the malachas that he did on that Shabbos. But the point is, again, the days in between are considered a yediyah. So it was shigrius Shabbos with zodin malachas. He can't make him chayav for the individual malachas because there was no helam regarding the malachas. The helam was regarding Shabbos. You have a separate helam for each Shabbos. Therefore, one chatas for each Shabbos.
Another
Malach. Hayadeya Shahu Shabbos. On the other hand, the third case is he knows it's Shabbos, but he didn't know that the Malachas are. So also Malachas Habib Shabbos is Habib. He did many Malachas on many Shabbosim. So this is Zodin Shabbos for Shigas Malachas. So now he's Chayav. So Chayav. Well, you could actually. And the Gemara and Shabbos discusses that. Helam Zev Zev Yodei Ma'u. The whole sugi over there. What if he forgot both? That it's Shabbos and the Malacha is also right. There's a whole sugi over there. How many chatos? Because the Mishnah didn't mention that case. The Mishnah just mentioned the three cases where there's one shogeg each. A shogeg in general that he doesn't know about Shabbos. A shogeg that he doesn't know today is Shabbos. Or a shogeg that he doesn't know that this Malacha is also. So then chayv akol av Malacha or Malacha. So then he's chayv individually for each av Malacha. Now, the ilu chayev alkol av malacha shall call Shabbos for Shabbos like katoni. Now the Mishnah is not saying that he's chayev that we multiply the number of others by the number of Shabbosim and make him bring that number. So in other words, the Mishnah seems to be implying that, let's say, for example, so he did 10 malachas each Shabbos, for example, so he's bringing altogether 10 chatos. I, he did them on three different Shabbos. Then we don't multiply 10 by 3 and make him win 30 Chatzos. The mission at the end of the
second. It has to be either one or the other. But in Shabbos, it's the case where it could be both.
Fine, but right now we're not dealing with that. The point is, in terms of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah talks about the third case, Zodin Shabbos for Shigrath Malach. He knew it was Shabbos each time, but he didn't know these 10 malachas at all. So he did 10 malachas on each Shabbos. We're saying he's bringing 10 chatzos at the end, not 30. Now, who would that Mishnah be according to, says Rabbah? Elamer of Eliezer, would you say that it represents, well, that's what we're going to have to figure out. Could it be the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer? Can't. Ema Sefer, because, well, no, so far maybe it could be. But Ema Sefer, but look at the last part of that same Mishnah, says, Ha'oisa Malachas have a Me'ain Malacha. So if a person does many Malachas that are Me'ain one Malacha, so he does an Av and various Tulbas of it, or according to the Rambam, whatever, he does an Av and various Me'ains of it, whatever, Ein Chayav Alachas, he's only Chayav one Chatzas. Now that can't be, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi Eliezer, Chayav Akavladi Malachas Kamalachas. Okay, one second. The Mishnah is telling us that, let's say, forget about multiple Shabbos. Let's say on one Shabbos, a person planted and pruned and watered. The Mishnah is telling us you only have one Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer would disagree with that. He said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer says that Vlodis are considered separately. Rabbi Eliezer is Machayev an individual Chatas for each one. So that end of the Mishnah cannot go like Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, the Mishnah as a whole, which is one long continuum, can't be like Rabbi Eliezer. Elop Shitzer Rabbi Akiva. He obviously, therefore, must represent the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Ushma Mina, so we see from that, says Rabbi, Shigat Shabbos Bezodin Malachas, that way he was Shigat on Shabbos, but he was made it on the Malachas, the middle case of the Mishnah. Then Shitalei Diyom Shabbintayim Tavim Diyalachalik. Then Rabbi Akiva knows for a fact that the days in between amount to a Yediyah, and therefore each Shabbos is considered a separate entity, a separate goof. But Zodin Shabbos, the Shigrath Malachas or Dubai. The only question Rabbi Akiva could be asking, therefore, is the third case of the Mishnah, where he was mazed on Shabbos, but Shigrath on the Malachas, that he's asking, Ishi Gufian Damian, whether they're
concerned. The second case.
Because he knows it. Because he knows it. Shigrath Shabbos was on Malachas. He knows that Yom Shabbat Taim are Yediyah L'Chalik. So obviously he must be asking Rabbi Eliezer about the third question, where it was Zodin Shabbat to Shigrath Malachas or Deboi, Ichi Gufin Damian. Do we consider them like separate Gufim, which if we did would mean he's higher for the number of Malachas times the number of Shabbosim? Or Pasha by Gufim Damian, and Rabbi Eliezer answers him, yes, they're considered like separate Gufim, so we would multiply the number of we would multiply together the number of Malachas of others that he did times the number of Shabbosim and be mechayev him on that. And then he's also asking him Vladim Malachas to Malachas Damian. He's also asking him whether the Vladis are considered separate or considered like the Malachas, and therefore he's chayev individually for each one. And obviously Rabbi Akiva disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer's answer on both of those, and therefore we have the Mishnah tells us Rabbi Akiva's opinion, which is that he's not chayev on the number of Malachas times the number of Shabbosim, only the number of Malachas in the case of Shazodin Shabbos or Shigrath Malachas. And also, since the Mishnah finishes off that if he does many things, Me'ein Malacha Ha'af, he's chayev only one, that means Rabbi Akiva disagreed with the second point of Rabbi Eliezer as well. About the Ovis versus Tolbis, to be mechayev for each one individually.
He says just the
Av or the Tolbis. Rabbi Akiva is going to agree. If a person does only the Tolbis, Rabbi Akiva is going to be mechayev him as well. But the point is, if he does the Av and its own Tolbis, Rabbi Akiva is going to be mechayev only one, whereas Rabbi Eliezer would say two.
That doesn't seem logical. Why would you say if you do the Av, you're mechayev? If you do Tolbis, you're mechayev. But if you do the Av, you're not mechayev.
Because they're all under one category. The Torah is, you did, let's say, you watered a plant, you were over on the Malacha of Zerei. You didn't do the Av Malacha of Zerei, fine, but you did something under this category of Zerei. But if you planted and you watered a plant, you did two things that both fall under the category of Zerei. So it's similar to what we had before, but Shem Echad and Shnei Shem and whatever, it's all one Shem of Zerei. Rabbi Eliezer would say that no, it's five individually for each one, right? So the point is, therefore, Rabbi says, so looking at that Mishnah, we see evidently that we can see what Rabbi Akiva knew as a given, what he asked Rabbi Eliezer, and that he disagreed with the answers Rabbi Eliezer gave him on both things.
And they're
halachas
like him.
Whoa. The halachas like Rabbi Akiva over Rabbi Eliezer, sure, but we first have to finish understanding Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Okay. Amalei Abaya, however, Abaya says to Rabbah, not necessarily. Amalei Abaya, Abaya says to him, to Rabbah. Who is it? All this time we've been having Rabbah's explanation since the top of the Amud, from the top of the Amud until here. Now Abaya. Well, not necessarily, says Abaya. That's not necessarily the way to understand Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Actually, we can understand Rabbi Akiva to be saying that if he was mazed on Shabbos and the Shogig was only on the Malachas, Rabbi Akiva knows for a fact that Shabbos is lav to guf and damyan, that each Shabbos is not considered like a separate guf. And exactly the opposite of what you're saying. Shigas Shabbos, Zodin Malachas, what he's asking is like the second possibility we said in the Gemara before. Rabbi Akiva's question is, when you have Shigas Shabbos, Zodin Malachas, before Rabbi said it's Pitta, Abaya is understanding the other way around.
Because Rabbi understands that...
Rabbi understood that Rabbi Akiva knows for a fact the Yomim Shabbat time, the days in between, are considered a Yediyah.
Right.
Abaya said, not necessarily. Maybe that was actually Rabbi Akiva's question.
About the third one, which is about the second
so one second, one second. Yeah. So he's asking, Shigas Shabbos was Zodin Malachas or Dibayim. He's asking, in a case of Shigas Shabbos was Zodin Malachas, where he didn't know each time that was Shabbos, but he knew these Malachas are also, so he's asking, Yomim Shemintayim, we have an idea of Chalak Eloi. The days in between, do they count as idea and make a Chibuk or not? Abaya is saying. So according to Abaya, Rabbi Eliezer answered him, Yavim Shemantayim Chalik, that yes, the days in between each Shabbos do create a distinction between one Shabbos and the next. The Kabul Mineh. And then Rabbi says, Rabbi Akiva did accept that answer from Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore, yeah, the Mishnah and Shabbos reflects that. The second case in that Mishnah over there, we had Shigas Shabbos with Zodin Malachas, reflects that understanding. But yeah, because each Shabbos is considered a separate entity, therefore he's doing a separate Chatos for each Shabbos. Then, Then he asked him another question. What about the Vlade Malachas count separately from, are they considered like independent Malachas of their own? And Rabbi Eliezer said, as he said, it says in the Mishnah, yes. Vlade Kabbalimine, and that Rabbi Akiva did not accept.
In other words, Rabbi Akiva changed his opinion
not changed his opinion. He asked, according to Abaya. He didn't know. He started not knowing whether Yom Rosh Hashanah time, right? Rabbi Eliezer tells him they are, and he accepted that. And then he asked him, what he didn't ask him about the vlogis, right? Okay. So you could understand it that way, says Abaya. So far we have Rabbi and Abaya. We're also going to have, later on, where we're going to talk tomorrow about Hashem, we'll have Rav Chista's understanding of the discussion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Okay.